Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
Coming up on NBA Today, LeBron out tonight versus the Suns. What that means for the Lakers' playoff hopes. And with Brooklyn firmly locked into the play-in, does one of our analysts think the Nets can actually win the East? Plus, the elite of the elite. Only five players can make all NBA first team. So which five are going to make the cut? That debate is coming up shortly. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome into NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. What a show we have for you today, despite Richard Jefferson being here, because tonight there are, get this, Richard, 11 clinching scenarios in play. So wow. Over the course of the next 60 minutes, we're going to fill you in on all 11 of those and so much more. I'm Malika Andrews, joined alongside Chinne Agumike, Richard Jefferson, and Zach Lowe. We're going to start, though, with some news out of the desert, all right? So let's do it. If you're a Lakers fan, the news I'm about to share with you, it is not going to make you thrilled. LeBron, he is out tonight in a massive game for the Lakers' postseason chances. The team announcing not even an hour ago that he'll be resting to nurse the left ankle sprain that he has. Now, LeBron also sat out Sunday's loss to Denver. LA's season hanging on by a thread as they take on a team with the NBA's best record. So let's go to the desert for more. We're now joined by our ESPN NBA reporter who covers the Lakers, Dave McMenamin. Dave, without LeBron, what's at stake for the Lakers tonight?
Well, Malika, this could be it. It could be elimination night for the Lakers. The magic number is two. Any combination of Laker losses and San Antonio wins down the stretch here means the Lakers are out of play-in tournament contention. The Lakers will have Anthony Davis in the lineup tonight. He vowed to play on that right midfoot sprain down the stretch here, and he gave them a chance against the Nuggets on Sunday. That was only a one-point game headed into the fourth quarter before Nikola Jokic took over. Frank Vogel claims that his guys are still playing with a pure spirit and a collective mindset of trying to do whatever they can to pull a rabbit out of the hat here, but you're playing the best team in the NBA in the Suns in an arena where you're down 40 last time you played here.
Right, and good spirit is all good and well, but it needs to translate to wins, right? As for the Suns, their postseason plans are secure. They have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs. So what are they playing for tonight?
Malika, it could be a really big night for the Suns franchise. They need one win, which on the table tonight against this Lakers team, to set the franchise record for wins in a season, beating Barkley's Suns in 92-93, beating Steve Nash's Suns in 2004-2005. They failed the last two chances to do so on the road against Memphis, against Oklahoma City, so they already have that kind of stuck in their craw, wanting to get back up to their standard of Suns basketball. And a Suns source told me this morning that only adding fuel to that motivation are Anthony Davis's comments from about a month ago, where he said, looking back at last year in the first round of the playoffs, that the Suns know it and we know it, that they got away with one by beating an injury-riddled Lakers team when the Lakers were up 2-1 in the first round. So put all that in a pot and stir it around. You could see a Suns team with really a point to prove tonight, because not only did they beat the Lakers last year, they can bury him again this year by winning tonight.
Whew, macaroni in a pot. That is going to be an interesting game. Thank you so much, Dave. We'll see you on SportsCenter at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific. All right, I do want to talk about some of those clinching scenarios that Dave mentioned, because those teams, they are battling for play-in tournament in the West. The Pelicans, they can clinch with a win or a Lakers loss, and they face the Kings in Sacramento. And remember, they are 1-2 against them this season. Now the Spurs, they can clinch with a win against the Nuggets and a Lakers loss, but remember, they are playing without DeJounte Murray. And San Antonio is 1-2 against Denver this season. And the Lakers, they face the Suns in Phoenix. We already mentioned it. If they lose and the Spurs beat the Nuggets, game over. Lakers officially eliminated from playing contention. So let's just keep this one really simple. True or false, the Lakers get eliminated tonight. Zach, starting with you.
Sometimes hope just brings pain. I think for all of our mental health, yours, mine, LeBron's, everyone in Los Angeles, just pretend that the Lakers are already eliminated because it's not happening. They have like a 1% chance of getting into the play-in at this point. It's over. Just let's just move on because it's going to take a miracle. And the LeBron not playing, I think, signals what the Lakers and what LeBron believes their chances of pulling off a miracle are. So I'll just say true, because if it ain't tonight, it could be tomorrow or the next day. So I'll just go true.
Okay, so I'm going to agree with a lot because the Lakers have been, we said it on air, they are DNR, do not resuscitate.
You said it first.
I said it, okay, thank you, no big deal. We got some other stuff we're going to talk about later too, but thank you. One thing that's key here is I think this is less indicative of Bron. Bron was coming back a little early to try, you know, to try the ankle and then plays 40 minutes on a bum ankle at 37 years old and gave 38 points, but you can see in that fourth quarter, he just kind of ran out of gas. So at the end of the day, I think this is less about Bron wanting to play, and he tried to come back early, pushed it too hard. I think he's still going to play in more games this season, regardless of what happens tonight, but he wants to be on that floor. But 40 minutes in that game, that to me is the thing that probably set them down against this game and then the Denver game and the Suns game.
Well, the scoring title is still up for grabs for LeBron, but Frank Vogel said this to me. He said that if this was the middle of the season, he probably could have benefited, right, from having another two-ish games with this sort of injury. True or false, Chennai? Only true or false?
True.
Yes.
True.
Yes,
and
you did it.
I think, you know, the phrase that's been going around with the Lakers, you're proud of me, Richard Jefferson, for making a decision. Thank you so much. If someone shows you who they are, believe them. And they've shown us that this team has not been able to put it together, whether it is the lack of health, you know, not having all stars available on the floor, or the lack of chemistry, or the lack of defense. They've shown us who they are. We believe that at this point, AD played what he had 28-9 last time out versus Denver and still lost. And so you're going up without LeBron, who, mind you, is tied or at least leading the NBA in scoring. And now you're in a situation where Devin Booker could be back. It's a road game, and Devin Booker has averaged 35-5 in his last times he's played. So, yeah, the Suns, and this is what I'll lastly say, as someone who plays for Los Angeles sports team currently, everyone wants to get it in and try to make sure they lose, you know, knock you off while you're on your high horse, you know, especially when you're the Lakers in a franchise that has championship aspirations. And so I feel like, you know, Phoenix, they're going to look at this like, oh, we have an opportunity to really shut down their season in a way that we are extremely motivated. I look to them to come out victorious because we haven't seen much of the otherwise. What,
their
Richard?
Season has been over for months. Their season's been over for months. They know it, and this is no disrespect. They just don't have any continuity. It's hard enough to win a championship when everything is moving in your direction. Listen, like Milwaukee Bucks, all these teams that are good, Phoenix Suns. It's still going to be extremely hard. If you have nothing moving in the right direction and injuries and all this other stuff, it is damn near impossible, as Lakers and other teams are showing us.
All right, so since everyone on this panel eliminated the Lakers, let's move on.
Thank
We're
going to
move on.
Thank God.
Wasn't it a 3% chance yesterday?
Right, and now it's, you know.
Yeah,
all right. The remaining storylines, that's what I want to move on to for the final week of the season, because we're already there, the final week. Chennai, starting with you, the one storyline you're keeping the closest eye on this week is what?
I think it's how players finish, especially when it comes to the MVP race. And it's been so much fun how you can tell, like, after games, guys are like, what he have? All right, I'm going to try to outdo you. Joel Embiid has a lot to say about his performance, saying that, hey, I feel like people hate me. No one hates you, but the fact is that the competition has risen. And you look at Jokic. I mean, we're just seeing his clips. That man is a one-man offensive wrecking ball, taking on the entire NBA and entire defense is on his own. And then, of course, you have Giannis. Of course, you know, I mean, he just wakes up and just drops 40 and 15 and gets buckets. And so I think this MVP race is going to come down to the final game available, that final impression, and then it will be interesting to see what people vote, because I want to vote. You know, like, let me get a vote.
No, no, you can't vote if you can't make a decision on TV.
Like, no, I will make a decision when I have a vote, because then I'll have the incentive to tell you.
And this is my thing. I want to talk about all of the awards, for the most part, there's only one award currently right now that I think people believe in is the shoe-in, and that is the Sixth Man of the Year. But we got Scottie Barnes, and we've got Evan Mobley. Those, to me, Evan Mobley was the Rookie of the Year. Scottie Barnes has come on strong. Now, Evan Mobley got hurt four games ago, and the Cavs have dropped 3 out of 4, pushing them out of contention. Are they pushing him into the play-in? So, ultimately, that is also still showing the importance of Evan Mobley to everything that the Cavs have done. I think Scottie Barnes, I think Evan Mobley, these guys are by far the two. I know they can't go Jason
Kidd. Kidd had a great second half.
Yeah, we're not talking about a team that's five. No, because the difference for a rookie, and I was a rookie that was very fortunate to be on a playoff team,
right.
The expectations and the pressure is far different. That being said, we can't get a Jason Kidd, Grant Hill. We're two Rookie of the Years. I'm still going to lean towards Evan Mobley, but this last week is going to be big for Scottie Barnes.
Didn't you tell Scottie yesterday that
he was your guy?
Yeah.
Never said those words. I said, if I had a vote, Scottie,
and that's why
if I had a vote, I'd never said his name.
Sorry,
love you, Scottie, though.
All right, Zach, what's your biggest storyline?
Look at the players on the panel focusing on individual awards and individual glory. Let me bring it back to the team level.
Oh.
I'm interested in the Nets, who are currently 10th in the East, and you can bet Miami at 1, the teams at 2, 3, and 4, they're looking down at Brooklyn saying, 10th. I wonder, they have the tiebreaker over Atlanta. They have a super easy schedule. Can they get back into the 7-8 game of the play-in tournament to at least raise the possibility? Maybe they could be 7th instead of 8th. Right now, all they could be is 8th. So I'm looking at Brooklyn because I know they've struggled defensively. They've got injury issues with Seth Curry. Ben Simmons is MIA. All of that. None of these teams, if they have their druthers, want to see KD and Kyrie with a day of rest at least in between each game. So I'm looking at Brooklyn down the stretch these next 4 games. Can they get back into that 7-8 game to kind of cloud where they might end up, assuming they make the playoffs? Because no matter what you think of them, with those two guys, they are dangerous, and nobody is excited about playing them.
All right, if you're taking the bottom of the East, then my storyline that I'm watching for the remainder of this regular season is going to be the top of the East, because the top 4 seeds, they are separated by just 2.5 games. So Miami's still the number 1 seed. Then you got the Celtics, the Bucks, and the 76ers. The Bucks and the 76ers, they have the exact same record, but the Bucks have the tiebreakers. If somehow the Bucks fall to 4, that means in the second round, they'd be facing the Miami Heat. What is happening here? What is going to be shaking out? Are we going to see the 76ers make it through to the end just based on their path? Like, this is wild to me. I am curious how that seeding shakes out. Marcus Smart said it yesterday. He says he feels like it's his refrigerator. He goes, he checks, everything's still the same. He doesn't want any snack. He closes it. He goes, he checks. Oh, a new snack has appeared. Like, that's how he is thinking about this. He's checking this all the time. All right, still ahead, though.
It doesn't sound like something.
Wow.
It doesn't sound like Perk.
It definitely sounds
like
Perk. Sorry,
it
Perk.
Does,
we love you. All right, still ahead, though, on NBA Today. WNBA MVP Lisa Leslie. She joins us to pick her NBA MVP. Is it Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, someone else? Plus, between the Lakers, the Knicks, and some other teams, who's the most disappointing team this season? That's going to be discussed. And a couple of unreal point guards taking their talents to the play-in. Who has the best chance of going on a deep run? All of that and more. Keep it locked on NBA Today. Oh, snap.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Credit Karma. Get the money app where your hard work pays off and create your own karma. And in part by MLB The Show 22, rated E for everyone.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I now have the pleasure of introducing an absolute basketball legend. She's a 2-time champion, 3-time MVP, 4-time Olympic gold medal. I mean, just light work. It's Lisa Leslie. Thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today.
Thanks, guys. Everyone's, I'm so happy to be here.
I mean, everyone is so excited that you're in studio right now. And I know you're busy, so I appreciate you making the time. Just tell us what you're up to lately.
Malika, I'm so excited to be here. First off, thank you and congratulations to you, girl power. But for me, I also am using my girl powers. I have launched the first national all-Black-owned real estate brokerage. It's called Aston Rose, and I've partnered with some amazing co-founders, Tommy Rose, Rod Watson, and Rob Hite, and we are both just so excited to be able to do this nationally. I've been a realtor, which most people don't know, for the last 6 years licensed, and I've been an investor ever since my first paycheck from the WNBA.
Wow.
And so to have this opportunity to be in luxury, to be able to communicate with other celebrities and entertainers and help them to invest their money and to be able to regenerate those dollars in our community, I'm really excited to have this opportunity.
Awesome.
Can't wait to take over the world.
That's amazing. We're going to have to talk off mic after the show.
For sure.
You know,
I got you.
We're doing here, but you were also, let's talk a little bit of hoops, right?
Yeah.
You were also part of the WNBA's inaugural season. It was 25 years ago. It's hard to believe. What's the biggest change that you've seen in the league since then?
Oh, I think the support. Obviously, the two things I would say, probably talent first. The talent has been amazing. Obviously, we were talented when we played and when it started, but we had teams that were, you had two and three all-stars, and then maybe we had a lot more role players, a person who was just a shooter, a person who was just a defender. Today's game completely changed. Mm. I mean, the skills of all of these players, whether it's the ball handling, whether it's the shooting, whether it's the distance, I mean, people are in their range when they cross half court. So let's just be honest that the game and the product that's out there on the court is so amazing, but this sponsorship as well as the support from people. And here's where I say social media has been an amazing help, right? Because it's helped to grow the game. The pandemic did not hurt because it allowed people who were sitting at home and tuning in that had never tuned in before to really fall in love with the WNBA. So we are so happy with the state of the game. We're very happy with the product that's being put out there. And we're even more happier with all of these corporate sponsors who are putting their dollars behind women.
And the fans who are showing up to watch these women play incredible basketball. And it's at the WNBA level, certainly, but we also are seeing it at the college level, too.
Yes.
And you're close with Dawn Staley, right? And she just entered some very rare territory, clinching her second NCAA title. And she was also the swaggiest coach on the sideline.
Ever.
My goodness. Can she build the next college dynasty here?
Absolutely. When you look at what Dawn Staley has come from, my roommates, ever since I was 16 years old, she's always been an amazing leader, a floor general as a player, and then obviously on the USA Olympic team, we've shared gold medals. But to see her on this stage, leading these young women, the passion that she has about it, the spiritual aspect that she's always bringing to them, the positive level as a female, as a Black female, as a coach, being paid and honored with the amount of money that she deserves to have, she's built a dynasty. I think it will continue. A lot of players will continue to go to South Carolina because you want to be coached by her. And the fact that she just took down, I mean, to beat Gina Auriemma in the 11-0, that was huge on that stage. So I personally am so proud of Dawn Staley, but what she's building there in South Carolina, nothing short of amazing.
And those roommate days, they were good?
Oh,
good
roommate? It was good. Well, she's picky now.
Oh, I was going to say, who's the messy one? Because there's always one.
Well, both of us are very neat, but she's like, she always tells my husband she made me a better wife because she's like, there's water right here and there's a piece of hair. Like, come back in the bathroom, clean it up. I'm like, Dawn, calm down. But she's just so amazing, a great person off the court. So I'm so happy for her. Congratulations, Dawn.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. I was that roommate. I was the one that's like, excuse me, there is one piece of hair and you're going to come back.
You got to come in here and play it up.
I do want to know, though, do you want to play a game with us here on NBA Today?
Oh, let's do it.
All right,
I'm all about competition.
All right. We're going to
tell you, Malika, though, I'm very competitive.
Oh, girl, then good thing we're on the same team for this one. We're going up against Chiney and Richard Jefferson. So we're going to walk on over here, and we're going to play a little bit of a game we like to call Chop It or Drop
It. Sorry, I have to hug my sis. Hey!
You want to come over here and let them be?
Not even
no.
a little bit. I'm going to hang with Lisa. Sorry, Chiney. Sorry.
It's all
right, this is how Chop It or Drop It works.
Okay.
If you want to talk about it, you say we're going to chop it. If you don't want to talk about it, you say we're going to drop it.
Got it.
Topic, go. All right, first up, the race for the NBA MVP. It is as tight as we've seen. Caesars Sportsbook says Nikola Jokic is going to win it. So, Lisa, chop it or drop it?
Oh, we got to chop that.
All right.
Let's go.
What you
it.
Got? What do you think?
Well, Nikola, obviously, he's done such a great job. He could possibly win MVP back-to-back with the 27 points, 14 rebounds. But here's the deal, folks. 8 assists, the big man with the footwork on the inside. But listen, we cannot leave leave out Giannis. Excuse me.
Yes.
Giannis is on the inside, and I just came from a Nets-Giannis game where he took over and the overtime.
I guess
and
watching
him. Hit a three.
That was it. It was Nets versus Giannis.
It hit a big three. Middleton was kicked out, and Giannis was like, I got it.
Bro, yeah. The three-pointer.
OT.
And the free throws. So for me, Giannis at 30, averaging 30 points, as well as we know that Embiid's averaging 30.
Thank you. Anything on Embiid?
Embiid's amazing also. At 30 points on the inside, he's finally
this
put
is not
together
helping
a full
us decide.
Season.
I have a follow-up.
Yeah.
How do you feel seeing centers lead the conversation for MVP? Because you are center extraordinaire.
Hey, I feel great because I'm like, listen, we get away from the big man, big woman game on the inside. Get the ball inside. But this is what I love. All those players know where to go when the money resides. And they go to the paint. All these big guys who want to stay outside and shoot three-pointers, bro, you're not getting the cash flow and you're not getting the wins.
No, they get it.
Where the money resides.
All right, let's go on to the next topic. The Lakers. Biggest disappointment in the NBA? Chop it or drop it. Not to you, Richard.
Listen, don't be disrespectful with my Lakers.
Yeah.
We win championships, City of Inglewood, so we're going to go ahead and drop that.
All right.
And let it ride.
All right, dropping that and letting it ride. All right, the Nets are the 10th seed in the East, but they have the second shortest odds to win the conference. KD can lead the Nets to the finals. Chop it or drop it.
Let's chop it up because you got my boy Kyrie back out there. They're going to get their chemistry together. But listen, KD is a baller. That dude, his jumpers from all over the court, he's a scorer, and nobody wants to see them. Trust me, nobody wants to see them. I don't care what seed they're in.
No, Tanae, no one's sitting there going, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm really looking forward to playing the
No one wants to play them. They're like the biggest, you know, sleeper, I guess you can say. But how can you sleep on Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
In the eighth position? What? No one wants to play the Nets.
No, absolutely no one wants to play the Nets. Last but certainly, what are you doing?
I got you.
Certainly not least. Lisa. True or false?
Okay.
You once dropped 100 points in a high school game?
False.
Okay.
Correct. I actually, that's false. I dropped 101 points.
Whoa!
We got to get it right. It was 101 points.
And one. So Wilt's the only pro to do it 60 years ago. We're never going to see someone drop 100 again.
Baller.
Right? I don't know. Shot Holler. Shout out Inglewood.
All right.
Always repping. Yeah.
Chopping it or dropping it. What
shout
you
out
think?
Dorsey. Like
it? Yeah, let's chop
shout
it
out
up.
Shout out Cypress.
100 points. That's going to be tough to do. But what players do you guys think that could actually score 100 points in a game in the NBA?
It would take a team. It's also about the team that you're playing. I mean, I would say Devin Booker because he had 70.
I'm surprised that KD just got his career high. Wasn't it like 55?
55, right.
That was his
career. Where?
You know.
Okay, how about Steph Curry or Klay Thompson?
If Coach Steve Kerr lets them live, a lot of times he lets them sit. He lets them sit when they're hot. Let them play.
They have the ability.
100 is a lot.
Oh, I got you.
That's just for you and the GOAT. That's just for you and the GOAT.
Like, she said, excuse me.
Kobe's the reason why.
It was 101 points.
It takes a different mindset to get to that.
Yeah, it takes a different mindset. Lisa Leslie, thank you so much for joining us here on
NBA Today. Thanks for having me, y'all.
On air.
Oh, no, I won't. No, I won't. Boom, let's load up.
Still ahead on NBA Today. Zach Lowe on why Ja Morant isn't even sniffing his first team All-NBA ballot? What? All right, good thing Perk isn't here. Plus, between Kyrie, Trey, LaMelo, Garland, some elite point guards in the play-in. Which is most likely to propel their team to a deep run? And Giannis Antetokounmpo has one thing and one thing only in mind, to go back-to-back. So are the Bucks getting their respect? NBA Today rolls on after this.
So, Lisa.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma. So we took a look at the Western Conference play-in earlier in the show. So now let's take a look at the East. The teams, they're virtually set with Cleveland in seventh, Atlanta in eighth, followed by Charlotte and Brooklyn. So the Nets, they have four games remaining. You can see them here, okay? They host Houston tonight and then the Knicks tomorrow on ESPN before finishing the season with road games in both Cleveland and Indiana. So after starting the season with the best odds to win the title, it's possible that Brooklyn will need to win back-to-back games in the play-in to even get into the playoffs at all. So here's Kyrie Irving earlier today on if the Nets' expectations have changed due to their seeding.
You know, we're in it for the long run, so we're just going to play free and do everything we can to prepare for this play-in tournament, whatever it is. I've never been in a situation like this where late in the season all these games matter. You know, usually you're just trying to fine-tune your game, you know, just work on details, and, you know, get some rest. But I've been playing 40 minutes for the, you know, end of the season. So first, probably few times in my career, even when I think about my first 3 years in Cleveland, when we were not winning as many games, towards the end of the season, there still wasn't as much pressure. So this is one of those things that makes it fun as a competitor. You know, it gives you something to play for.
All right, so Kyrie and the Nets, they can't clinch anything tonight, but there are some clinching scenarios for some of the East play-in teams. So the Cavs, they're locked into a play-in game with a loss to the Magic and a Raptors win against the Hawks. If Toronto wins that game, the Hawks are locked into a play-in game. So a whole lot shaken out here, a lot to get to with these teams in the East in the play-in, but we're going to start with Brooklyn. And we were talking about this on our planning meeting earlier today, so I quickly just want to go through these scenarios a little bit. Assuming the Nets get through the play-in, how would they fare in a seven-game series versus the East top team? So I just want to go one by one here. So I'm going to start Nets versus Heat. How would they fare?
Heat in six.
Nets versus Celtics.
Celtics in seven.
Nets versus 76ers.
Nets in six.
Nets versus Bucks.
Bucks in six.
Bucks in six?
So you've got the Nets in one outcome versus the 76ers.
Yes, congratulations.
Okay, but can you expand on why?
Well, I look at all of these teams. When I look at the balance of these teams, I think the 76ers have the most kind of questions of those three teams. Now, when I look at Boston, I think it would be very, very close. Not having Williams to possibly start the postseason would be very difficult. The Bucks, they're a monster. They're an
you
absolute
said, that's why I was surprised you said it's six games.
Well, because I respect Kevin Durant and I respect
Absolutely.
Kyrie, but the rest of their squad, and this is no disrespect to the rest of the squad, they're not as evenly balanced as some of these other teams, and they haven't been pushing it. They're still working on chemistry issues. They got $30 million that just in Ben Simmons that have just decided he's not going
to
play in
lunch.
The play-in.
Yeah.
So at that time, you're like, there's a lot missing from their team, and so they're not getting swept. They're too great. They're too good. Most of these games, I think, are 6 and 7, which could go either way, but they would not be favored in any of these unless you're talking about Vegas trying to get money from people.
Okay, so that's the Nets situation. Let's go on to the Hawks because they've won 5 straight. They're currently the 8th seed, so can this team replicate what they did last year in their Eastern Conference Finals run?
Yeah, in the 8th seed, I think it's going to be really difficult because they sort of snuck up on people, and they were playing their best basketball at the right time, and my goodness, we had, you know, the ice tray, which was amazing, but if you look at the East, those top 4 teams, they really know who they are. They have identities. I look at the Bucks, and, you know, they have no questions. They just are rinse and repeat with how they're playing. You look at the Heat, I think they're number 1 in points off of the bench. Half of them come from Tyler Hero, but
right.
That does help in the postseason. Also, their top 5 defensive team. And then Celtics, they've had the best defense in the NBA so far this season based
Ooh,
on how they've turned things
cool.
around
what a video.
So far, you know, ever since it's been January 1, 2022. So you look at the top, it's going to be so much harder for any team to sort of insert themselves, especially in a year where teams got better.
All right, so that leaves 2 teams that we haven't talked about in the play-in, Zach. And since you're Mr. Deep Cut, who should we talk about and why?
Well, first of all, nobody uses the phrase no disrespect as liberally and effectively as Richard Jefferson. No disrespect. No disrespect intended. Second of all, look, you give me the deep cut teams. Charlotte is a show. Mm-hmm. Like, they can
yes.
score against anybody. With Gordon Hayward healthy, they can put out 5 wing lineups where they can switch everything. I just don't have any faith that they're going to be able to defend or rebound well enough to beat any of these teams and really push them that hard in a 7-game series. Cleveland, if they get Mobley and Allen back, and that's a big if, particularly in Allen's case, they at least have a defense
that they can go into any game and say, we can get you into a rock fight. Maybe you have a cold shooting night. Maybe we get a few extra threes from Markkanen. Maybe Garland blows up and all of a sudden we're 2-2 after four games because our defense brings it every game. But ultimately, I don't see either of these teams doing real damage in the playoffs, which is a shame because Cleveland, if they were healthy, even going back to Rubio healthy, is an interesting team having added LeVert, but the injuries have piled up for them.
Zach, when you're looking at these two young cores, who are you more excited about between the Cavaliers and Charlotte?
No disrespect to the Hornets, but I'd have to go with the Cavs because Darius Garland is already an all-star. Jared Allen just made the all-star team, and Evan Mobley may end up being the best player of all three of them. I think I would actually bet on him being the best player in all three of them. He's a superstar in waiting. He's the most important foundational piece. So I'd go with Cleveland. Really exciting stuff going on in Cleveland.
No, I completely agree with that. When you look at the Cavaliers and the Hornets, both of them have very young all-stars point guards. So you're looking at LaMelo Ball. You're looking at Darius Garland. But Darius Garland, the way he runs his team and the units that are around him, that is a much better, you know, situation.
There's an identity there.
Especially when you're talking about for the next 5 to 6 years, that Cleveland team has all the opportunity. And let's be real. If Evan Mobley takes that jump, and look, Jared Allen, I'm not saying anything negative, with all due respect, that could put them in a position to make and possibly fill out their rosters with other players. I love that roster. I love what J.B. Bickerstaff is doing up there.
I was going to say, they're an incredibly well-coached team. No disrespect to any other coach out there, but he is in the conversation, certainly, for Coach of the Year. All right, speaking of who's got next, still ahead on NBA Today, one of the men that you're about to see pictured is about to make some major news on our air. That's coming up next. Which player and what is he announcing? Find out next.
Ooh, nice note.
Really? Don't ever do that again.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for being with us.
Kobe Bryant.
LeBron James has an NBA body.
Your whole life.
This moment has been the goal, and my favorite part is that you get to celebrate with those who have supported you.
We'll look ahead to the future.
The NBA draft is going to take place on June 23rd at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and our next guest may be looking to have his name called that night. We are joined now by one of the best point guards in college basketball, Tennessee freshman Kennedy Chandler. Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us on NBA Today, and you were named second team All-SEC and to the All-Freshman team after averaging nearly 14 points, 5 assists, and more than 2 steals per game. But I understand you have some news you'd like to share with us today.
Yes. You know, first, thank y'all for having me on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has always been a lifelong dream of mine. First, you know, I like to thank my dad. Without him, I don't know where I'd be today. Second, you know, I like to thank my mom, my trainers, my coaches. I like to thank Vol Nation, Coach Barnes for bringing me to the program and bringing me to his arm and welcoming me to the program. And with that being said, I'll be entering the 2022 NBA draft and hiring Ryan Davis as my agent.
Wow, congratulations. That is incredible. What led to your decision to enter this year's NBA draft?
This decision was tough, honestly. I had talked to my family about it. I talked to Coach Barnes about it as well, and we felt it was the best decision for me, and this has always been a lifelong dream of mine.
How do you think your 1 year at Tennessee, playing in the SEC, how did that prepare you for the league?
Coach Barnes had prepared me very well since I ended up stepping foot on campus in the summertime, and he's always, you know, pushed me to be the best player I could be. And I know going to Tennessee that he's hard as point guard, but he pushed on to be the best player he could be.
You have close relationships, I know, with Ja Morant, Trae Young. What have you learned from them, and how have they impacted your game?
I got a very close relationship with Ja and Trae. You know, one thing I could do is ask them any question I have within being part of the basketball game, and I know that helped me along the way. And knowing that they're right there, that I'm closer to my dream, I know that helped me along with that as well.
Absolutely, and they're two young stars in this league who you can certainly learn a lot from. Kennedy, congratulations declaring for the NBA draft. Thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. We will see you at the draft.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
You guys Thank together y'all. Playing at your full potential, how dangerous are you?
Very dangerous. It's definitely scary.
To win it!
Everybody is just resilient.
DeRozan for the win. Got it again! DeMar DeRozan, I love you!
The Bulls, they were one of the best teams in the NBA prior to the All-Star break. In fact, they led the league in field goal percentage and had the fourth best offense. But it's been a rough go since the break. They're just 7-12, and their offense, it has plummeted to 26th in the NBA. For more on the Bulls, we continue our home court advantage series with ABC7 Chicago sports anchor and reporter Dion Miller. Thanks so much for joining us, Dion. Really appreciate it. And we just looked at it. It's been a tale of two different seasons for the Bulls, right? As someone who's covered them very closely, what's plagued them the most here?
Well, most importantly, their inability to beat teams with a winning record. It has been a brutal 0-17 this season, and that, of course, includes three losses to the Bucks. And I went back this morning. I was like, what is it? Why are they struggling so badly, especially against a team like Milwaukee? And it was about a month ago that the Bucks were here at the United Center. The Bulls were down 22. They rally, take the lead by 7, and Milwaukee says, okay, we're going to lock in, and they're able to exercise their will, and they win by 6. The Bulls have been saying, we're going to lock in and play with urgency in, before, during, after games for a month and a half, and they've just not been able to do it. And you showed that graphic about how at the first half of the year, how much success they were having, and a lot of it was DeMar DeRozan having the best season of his life, but also they were cruising along, and it felt like they were showing us a version of themselves that, injuries aside, they quite literally could not sustain, and it just proves that they're not there yet. They're not ready to compete at the highest level.
So we cover them from afar, but you live it every single day. So what's the feeling in Chicago about how successful the Bulls can be in this playoffs?
I honestly think, Malika, there's an understanding in this city that they are properly cast as a 5 seed right now, and that is okay. I mean, they're still going through a transition. Remember, it's been only 2 years under Arturis Karnišovas, and what's amazing to me is that, Malika, you've been in this city. For 20 years, everyone clamored for the ousting of the front office of Gar Forman and John Paxson, and now Arturis comes in 2 years in, and already he's gained the trust of this city. They did precious little at the trade deadline during a season when they were near first place in the East, and nobody freaked out because we trust him. We believe him. He's built a team that has the talent and the chemistry that can eventually compete. And he's made them relevant again. I mean, in a city where you have the history of Michael Jordan, all the Bulls fans want is to be in the conversation. And I think they have a sincere hope that eventually they'll lead that conversation. They're just still learning how to win and play at the highest level.
It certainly seems like once they get a little bit of experience under their belt, maybe a sprinkling of luck and then also continued health, it seems like this is going to be a team that we're going to be watching in the playoffs for years to come. Dion, thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. Chicago, they clinch a playoff spot with a win or a Cleveland loss. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the Bulls will likely be without Zach LaVine versus the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Still ahead, though, on NBA Today. Every day on the show, we talk about legit contenders vying for the Larry O'Brien. So should the Bucks be the favorites? We dive into that next.
Yes.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Credit Karma.
All right, here are some other clinching scenarios around the league tonight. Denver, they clinch a playoff spot with a win and a Timberwolves loss. Utah also clinches a playoff spot with a win and a Minnesota loss. The Raptors, you can see it there, they clinch with a win and a Cavs loss. And then the Bucks, they can clinch a division title with a win. So, speaking of the Bucks, no. They're no longer the sexy 60-win team that sits atop of the Eastern Conference. They're not necessarily the number one seed that every team is chasing, or the group that gets the most national headlines every day. But make no mistake, this is how the Bucks get you. They sneak up on you, and then they hit their stride at just the right moment. As they get in position to pounce, let this be the moment where we tell you that we're all about to start talking a whole lot more about the Milwaukee Bucks. Dominating the NBA conversation this season, the litany of Lakers losses, the constant questions about Kyrie, Ben Simmons' status, but nestled between dad jokes.
Why did the orange lose the race? He ran out of juice.
And finals-esque blocks is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I think we fly under the radar a little bit just because we're Milwaukee. Nobody really cares about us, even when we won the championship.
Well, it's about time we talk about the defending champion, Milwaukee Bucks.
After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
Chris, you did it, huh? You did it.
They started the season a pedestrian 8-8 and headed into the break as the middling fifth seed. But then, the Bucks got healthy and have soared to the top of the Eastern Conference standings. And what better time of year to be hitting your stride? Because for a guy who's won Defensive Player of the Year, a player who has won MVP twice and claims he doesn't even know who's in the race this year, by the way, Giannis, you're in it, and it's due in part to a clutch performance against Joel Embiid in the 76ers.
A little MVP magic to end it.
And two nights later,
step back three from the top. Got it! Giannis!
For a superstar like that, there's one thing he covets above all else, another championship.
And that's the messed up part about my brain. You know that we just did it. Like, we did it a couple hours ago, and I'm already thinking about how can I do it again.
Who could forget the first one?
Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. This building is shaking. Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. And Antetokounmpo throws it down. Turnaround.
It was the kind of breakthrough performance that makes you believe a repeat run could be in store. So forget what you heard or what you didn't in the regular season. The Bucks are here to redirect the discourse when it matters most.
I'm a champion. I'm a champion. My city's a champion.
And you can see the defending champion Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo in Chicago tonight take on the Bulls right here on ESPN at 8 Eastern. A special one-hour NBA countdown gets it all started at 7 Eastern. So before we go to break, I want to give some shine to the NBA Foundation. Today, the foundation announced 40 new grants totaling $11 million to organizations that are creating employment opportunities, furthering career advancement, and driving greater economic empowerment for Black youth throughout the United States and Canada. So congratulations to all the recipients. When we return in just 60 seconds, first team All-NBA, just 5 spots. Our panel picks their 5 when we return. And spoiler alert, this one will be hotly debated.
NBA Today is presented by Credit Karma. Get the money app where your hard work pays off and create your own karma.
All right, we took you through all of tonight's clinching scenarios, but there's something else that is not going to be settled tonight. Who will make it to the first team All-NBA? So Before we get into this, for those watching at home, All-NBA, it's the end of season award given to the best players at each of their positions. So there's the first team, the second team, third team All-NBA. In total, it's 15 players, two guards, two forwards, one center on each team. But this is where it gets kind of tricky, because let's say you vote for Embiid, right, first team center. That means that Jokic is going to be voted in at forward, or he's going to be on second team. But if you put him in at forward, then are you putting Jason Tatum in as a guard? Voters are going to be splitting hairs here, as several worthy contenders put out unbelievable bodies of work. So the financial implications also, they're huge, because this is how the league determines who's eligible for the Supermax.
And
so,
bonuses.
Yeah, I'm just getting out of the way here. Zach, only five names can be chosen. Your first team, All-NBA, includes who?
The three locks, I'm putting Giannis, Jokic, Embiid. I'm going to vote one of Jokic and Embiid as a forward, because let's face it, these have been the three best players all year. I'm putting them on first team. That leaves two guard spots and a bunch of names that I haven't decided yet, but you got Luka, Tatum's eligible at guard, Morant, Booker, Curry, some guy named LeBron. That's at least six guys
for two spots.
We haven't even mentioned Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron. On and on. I'm probably leaning to Luka, Tatum, or Booker, but I haven't decided yet. Tatum.
Okay, I'll actually narrow it down, because my team is very similar to Zach's, because we're very analytically minded. So, of course, I've got Giannis, I've got Joel, and I've got Jokic as my three. And I think
you're putting two of them in as forwards.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have Booker in as my first team.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I will also have Luka.
So Jason Tatum is not going to be on your first team All-NBA.
And I just like the consistency that Devin Booker has had. And I would like to honor, in a category where we may not say most valuable player, here I would like to honor how he's been, you know, the output, scoring output for the best team in the NBA by record.
All right, Richard. Luka,
why do you look so confused?
No, I'm not confused. I'm upset. Keep going.
Be upset. Okay, this is not an emotional situation here. Just stay with me here. I think Ja Morant is not on. When you look at his team, is
on 20, any of the three?
Not on the first team. We're only talking about first team. That's what the little graphic says. So 20-2 without him. So, like, I'm sorry, Ja is a stud. He was in the MVP race. He's
missed
gone.
22 games. Yes. Same as LeBron James.
Yes, LeBron James ain't even close to being on that.
Even though he's a scoring leader, which is wild.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's really Luka, and the reason why I put Luka on it is because Luka does everything for his team. When you look up, it is 30, it is 15, it is 12. Like, it is across all boards. Like, he is their team. And the second best player on this team, I don't even know how to give you an example. Now, the reason why I have the final spot for Devin Booker is because he does need to be rewarded for putting up those numbers on a team that is by far the best team in the league.
But yes. This is what makes it tricky, because, again, if you do it this way, then again, Jason Tatum, who has been in the same sort of mirroring what Luka Doncic is doing in the Eastern Conference, he's not going to make first team.
But maybe more
this
help.
Is why it should just be the 15
Luka,
best players.
Luka.
Positionless. No. Make it positionless.
Luka by
the 15
far.
Best players should make all NBA.
Ain't no
point blank period. We'll see
Luka
you tomorrow. NFL Live is coming up next.
More.